This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. We have three stellar workers who are engaged in a fast. They are Walmart workers and or former Walmart workers, and they are Denise Barlage, former Walmart worker of 9 years who was laid off in Pico Rivera, California, after, hey, speaking out for better working conditions. And Tiffany Faulkner, former Walmart Consumer Service Manager from Sacramento, California. And Emily DeHart, who works for Walmart in Merritt Island, Florida, and as we figured out, right near Cape Canaveral. Welcome to Brooklyn, and I am thoroughly delighted to have you here. And to set the pace, why don't we listen to some sound from other Walmart workers? You'll get the idea.
Sometimes I can't buy my son clothes or shoes or buy groceries for the house.
Quite often I have to skip lunch. Other times I've had to miss work because I didn't have money to get there.
You got to pick and choose what you pay. You don't have the luxury of paying for everything that you need.
Day or two before payday, I'm already budgeting my check, which at that point in time, 2 days before I even get paid, I'm already broke. And that's not a cycle that, it'll happen here and there. It's every paycheck.
I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren that I'm dying to meet, but I can't because I can't afford to.
Making $15 an hour would bring me out of poverty.
Making $15 an hour, I wouldn't have to stress about keeping my car insurance to be able to get to work.
I'd be able to buy the books I need to be able to go to college.
$15 an hour would mean that I could take care of my medical expenses.
If I made $15 an hour right now, I'd be able to afford a car again. I'd be able to afford rent. I'd be able to buy food without having to rely on welfare.
I wouldn't have to worry about checking up with friends. I would have my own place.
Join us.
Join us.
Únete para poder vivir mejor.
Stand up, let it come.
Join us so we can all live better.
So 15 and full-time work. We have three fasting workers here protesting the conditions at Walmart. Workers to organize dozens of events nationwide and outside Walton family estates to demonstrate that Walmart workers and their families are going hungry. Now, who wants to start and tell us what their own experiences have been and whether or not anything we've heard is exaggeration? So why don't we start with our sister from Pico Rivera, California, Denise Barlage.
Being at Pico for 9 years, I did see a lot of injustice in that area, not just in retaliation or intimidation with managers, but a lot with the associates, what they had to face in that area of hunger. Many of them just sat at the back break room tables just watching you or just lowering their heads. I have my husband who works. We had some difficulties ourselves, but nothing to what some of the associates went through. And a lot of times I felt if I had enough to give them, I either buy them a lunch or share my lunch in that category. I would also see at times when associates had to make choices about either getting gas or finding a way home because they didn't have gas in their car, not enough for a bus pass, or to eat. A lot of times, a lot of us would just combine our efforts together to give rides home, or just we worked as a family to assist people because Walmart didn't care. Walmart did not care. This is a company, the largest private employer in the world. Not only did they have the situation of not being able to show sympathy in this area, that if you needed to draw government assistance, you could go to the personnel office to receive those papers. I mean, what's that telling you about a company like that?
Walmart claims to be a family, but we're more of a family to each other than they are. Like, we donate food to each other. We share our lunches. We bring food from home for each other. And, you know, it's sad when, you know, people are starving at work and feel the need to steal someone's lunch out the refrigerator. And I know that's happened to Denise a couple times. You know, daily across the nation, you have Walmart workers who, like me, when I was working there, with a friend, we would combine our money and our food stamps, and, you know, she'd spend the last of her food stamps buying a loaf of bread.
Wait a minute. You worked at Walmart, and you also were getting food stamps?
Yes, a lot of people, you know, they're not me personally, but, like, people that have families, you know, being a single parent, there's a lot of workers at Walmart that are eligible for food stamps. Why does the country and our nation have to subsidize Walmart workers when Walmart is the number one richest employer of the world and profits $16 billion in 1 year?
So that's a good question. So Tiffany raised it. Do tell us, Emily.
I'm also a person that has food stamps. And not only food stamps, but I have WIC now because I have a two-month-old son. So therefore, I do know the struggle. And when my husband goes to work, sometimes he's not able to have lunch because they obviously don't give us enough food stamps and we don't make enough with me when I was out of work. So, yeah, Walmart's pretty unfair with their stuff, but along with the state, they tell us we make too much sometimes, so we do go hungry a lot.
Aside from the food issues and the wage issues, what about the working conditions? Surely they must be more beneficent in terms of consideration. They're not sexist, they're not racist, they're not xenophobic, they're considerate of the needs, the health and safety. Well, I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here because clearly I know that's not the case. But tell us about those as well.
I mean, they don't care about working people's families. They expect you to have open availability, available from 6 a.m. to midnight or whatever the time the store closes. If you close your availability, they cut your hours. How do people with families survive like that? Imagine raising a young child and having to work at Walmart and not being able to help your child with homework or anything like that.
Tiffany, you mentioned cutting hours, part-time work, because that's one of the key demands. Do you want to talk to that?
Yes. So most of the workers at Walmart are part-timers. Very few are full-time. If you're full-time, you're a member of management or a long-term associate that's been there long enough before they started cutting part-timers. But it's hard to live even at full-time, like I was, being a customer service manager, off of $11.40 an hour in California. And I know a lot of people have it worse than I do, but that was a struggle for me, being single by myself. Making $11.40 wasn't enough when you have rent that's like $700. And I can imagine how hard it is when you're only part-time and trying to still make your bills and take care of a family.
Well, what I also want to know is, what about those conditions? They treat you with respect, with dignity. What if somebody's hurt on the job? They get, hey, decent vacation pay, sick leave. What's going on with that as well?
Well, in California, we were able to establish a sick time policy, which Walmart does not like. It was addressed to temps as well as part-time workers. In California, how it's set up, for every 30 hours you work, you get 1 hour of sick time pay. Walmart's changing a lot of their policy regarding that, trying to oversee that law from their policy. It's going to come back on them. But a lot of associates are appreciative of that. But, you know, again, we have situations where Walmart doesn't even abide by their own policies. One of their things is about the two-man lift. Many associates who had to lift items that were over 50 pounds, associates would try to find it, would tell them, I can't lift it by myself. Management was, well, just trying to find help. A lot of people who were skeptic about giving help because they didn't want to lose their department, they knew that they could be coached or fired. So a lot of associates didn't really assist each other in those capabilities. So a lot of people would get hurt, sent to what we call the no-care clinic, operated by through Walmart, and many people would just be given an aspirin and a Band-Aid.
The no-care clinic?
Yep.
Is that tongue-in-cheek, or is that...
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. Mm. And a lot of people were sent back to work and went from there.
And Emily, you were recently injured on the job also. Do you want to talk about that and what management's attitude toward that were?
I wasn't actually injured on the job, but I did hurt my foot about a year ago. And they had told me to go home because I had crutches. And I was willing to work. I was ready. And I went home and came back a few days later, and they actually coached me for it, which isn't fair at all because they told me to go home.
They coached you for it?
It's kind of like a write-up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they coached me for it, and that's where I finally dropped.
So you got a write-up because they told you to go home because you had crutches.
Yeah, they thought that was a liability.
You know, Sam and Alice Walton, my goodness.
I want to reinstate something on that injury part, something that we were able to instill in the laws, and that was, which was called respect the bump. A lot of young moms who are at Walmart, a lot of them lost miscarriages due to Walmart not seeing it as a disability and not giving limitations on their job abilities, and Walmart just didn't care. So a lot of Walmart workers, Tiffany especially even, we got together when there was a petition drawn on that, and it was called Save the Bump. And many Walmart women now have the ability to stop for a while and not have to pick up heavy things because it wasn't Walmart. They wouldn't have never had done that. It was many workers who instilled that.
But I heard a commercial, as a matter of fact, just before I came to the radio station, talking about the enormous increases in wages and how beneficent Walmart was to its workers. So what do we say to Walmart? And I know you folks have been saying a heck of a lot.
The recent wage increases were a start, but that was not enough. For workers in California and a lot of other areas, they didn't see anything. And, you know, like in California, the minimum wage is already $9, so they got skipped. Next year it's going to 10. They're going to get skipped again. We want to get raises for everyone, not just for some. And, you know, we have long-term associates that don't see anything either. They've been capped and not getting raises, and they're not making that much. It's a show that Walmart's putting on saying that our wages are good, but they're not. And it shows proof when a lot of the workers are on government assistance. Why should we be working for Walmart and still be on government assistance? Something's wrong.
Well, indeed, something's wrong, but something's very, very right here because my sisters are all sitting here with bright lime green shirts, and, of course, there's the kind of O and the W, that the insignia there, and it says, Our Walmart for Respect.org. Now, you folks have vowed and begun a hunger strike, and I want to know more about who you are that caused you to take this stand. It's courageous. It's dignified. It's what workers historically have done to move forward, but it's not easy. So tell us how the hunger strike, the FAST, came into being and why the three of you joined it. Who wants to begin? Okay, we're starting with our Pico store here. We're going back to Denise.
I've done other fasting before, three of them this year. You know, the thing about fasting, it always calls to attention. Everyone recognizes when there's fasting, as it did in Tiananmen Square and in Gandhi. It really raises attention to what's going on in a situation, as it did for us back in April for L.A. County, when we were able to fast with many other great women that I did that were fasting for Raise the Wage campaign in L.A. City, and eventually the mayor took notice and signed off on that.
And my sister from Florida, what brought you into this process? I mean, you just had a new baby, your life is, I dare say, full and hectic, and here you are traveling throughout the country saying, really giving comeuppance, if you will, to Walmart. $15 full-time hours. What brought you to this?
Unfortunately, I'm not fasting. I should tell you that now. My husband is. He's here with me.
Well, that's okay.
He's fasting for me. What brought me here, I would like to support the people that are, and obviously I've been through not having lunch and stuff like that, so it really does touch base for me, so I support everybody that does it.
Tiffany.
I'm fasting to support the Walmart workers across the country who either go without lunch or having to share money for lunch, it's a problem across the country that needs to end, and we're out here to draw attention to it, being out front of the Waltons estates across the country, saying, hey, pay attention to us. This needs to stop.
Denise, you worked at the Pico Rivera store, and that was closed for a while on curious conditions, and just recently reopened, and you weren't taken back, and a number of other workers weren't taken back also. Do you want to talk about that?
Pico Rivera's store, the first store that ever striked. It was a little heartfelt in every which way. I remember the day that it closed, April the 13th of this year. A great deal of associates, I'm sure many people saw it online, how some associates were just dropped down in tears. They didn't know what to anticipate. Again, a lot of our single moms, a lot of people who, even though their checks might have been very small, it was their checks, and they relied on that for whatever cause they need for food and all. And, you know, as my good friend Evelyn Cruz always said, they didn't just lay off 530 people. They laid off 530 families. And that's something that we have to keep in note. You know, it's not just the workers, but their families that are get involved in this as well, that take heart to this. You know, I've been very active with our Walmart for 5 years, so it comes to no surprise that they haven't reinstated me yet. But I believe that down the line that they will hopefully do the right thing. We can only hope for that and see what happens. But a lot of associates that we've been able to have food banks for them and help them out in every which way.
But I will say that store closing had a tremendous effect across all members of our Walmart. For me personally, I was part of the sit-in that happened in November, and to know that a store that we took over and actually sat in got closed down for quote-unquote plumbing issues, you know, was really heartbreaking for the organization as a whole. And to know that that was our number one store, our kickoff store, it was very heartbreaking to a lot of us.
Oh, Tiffany, just tell us a little bit more about what led to the strike there, because I'm not sure that all of our listeners know that our sisters and brothers from Walmart stores, some of them have actually mobilized and have struck, and of course the Pico store did. Tell us a little bit more about the takeover of that store and the strike. That's back, you said, in November. That was pretty exciting. Talk about it.
So last year, about this time, actually, maybe today exactly, about this week, this year, we decided that we're going to kick off our Black Friday actions by doing a sit-in in retaliation. So it was all of California, members from across California, going down to Southern California, and we actually did sit-ins in two different stores, the Crenshaw store and the Pico Rivera store. That was such a powerful movement for those of us that did it. We took over the Crenshaw store for 2 hours. They didn't know what to do. It showed how powerful we were to see management scrambling around, looking crazy like, oh, my God, what do we do? Denise, you got anything to add to that?
And by the way, I've got to hear some of the chants, too. We're not leaving without chants, so I want you to get your voices in unison here.
You know, I give it up to my girl, Venancy, who led us on that chant to opening in Crenshaw, because she was actually the starting of the store at Pico to getting people signed up, and it was just a ripple effect after that. One of the things was that she stood strong saying the chant, getting us moved on into Crenshaw and being a leader in that store with us. But, yeah, it was wonderful to see because it was a big surprise. More so for the home office of HR and all of them coming in there and telling us we couldn't be there. Who do we think we are? We only could be current associates to be there. We all identified ourselves as current associates. Had a lawyer there at that point who very calmly said, we have the right to be here. Here were papers. So at one point, as we're sitting there on the floor with green tape on our mouths that said strike or no retaliation, we showed them that we demanded our rights. We showed them.
Now, you're in New York, and you did an action today. You made a courtesy call on Alice Walton. She has a little condo here on Park Avenue. I think she paid $25 million for it.
Ah, so, patash.
Yeah, for her it is. Yeah, so.
Yes.
Anybody want to talk? Did she come down and offer you breakfast or anything? This was at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No, she didn't. She didn't make her presence, but we made our presence known for sure. But yes, we're going to be doing that all week. We're going to be making our presence known, saying, hey, Alice Walton, pay attention to us. Workers need, you know, consistent full time and $15 an hour because we're starving. Everyday workers are starving, and we're going to be out there all week to say, hey, this needs to stop.
Emily, one of the things I'm interested in is it's 15 and full time. Tell us a little bit about how the hours are structured and why the demand is so you don't get full time hours. Is that the issue? It's only part time. What's the significance of the demand for 15 and full time?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't get full time unless you're management or you work overnight.
The way Walmart does it is if they increase the wages like they just did, they have a tendency to cut hours. So that's why we're saying 15 and consistent full-time so that they can't cut the hours.
I want to reiterate on something, too. Walmart's old policy always stated that they would always keep in their stores 70% full-time, 30% part-time. That's turned around. That's completely turned around on them. I think they're hurting themselves and their business. It's not just bad that they already have a bad karma out there, but also by not providing decent service by doing that, by cutting the hours. They're actually hurting themselves more than they know of.
So what do we want our listeners and what do we want New Yorkers to know and all the 50 states where there are demonstrations all for the rights and the working conditions of hardworking, dignified, wonderful people like yourselves. Members of the working class who, what do you know, you all create all the wealth. So what's the message to Walmart? What do you and your husband, who is fasting, and I'm sure you don't throw that up to him, you know, we're not going to Katz's and getting any pastrami sandwiches while he's fasting, but what's the message that you want everybody to know?
We want 15 and full-time so that we're not on, you know, financial assistance from the state so that we can provide for our family. And not have to struggle with bills and rent and all that stuff.
And what do you think about the Alice Waltons of the Walmart world? You know, this is just one of her luxury estates that you were protesting in front of. What do you think about the Alice Waltons of the world?
That really makes me sick, the way she, not just her, but all the Waltons. They make so much money. And they can't share it with us. They're really stingy. I don't like that.
Now, these are 15 days of protest leading up to what, Tiffany?
So this is 15 days of actions leading up to Black Friday, where across the nation there will be actions for and protests on Black Friday. If you would like to start or join an action for Black Friday, you can sign up at protest.blackfriday, and I know we have actions going on across the nation.
So we're going to do that one more time. Where do people go to find out where they can join you folks in participating? Where do they go? What's that website?
It's protest.blackfriday.
Now, wait a minute. I said you're not getting out of here without at least one slogan. Do we have some chance?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do a 1, 2, 3. I want to hear 1, 2, 3.
Who's Walmart?
Our Walmart.
Who's Walmart?
Our Walmart.
I like it. I like it. Are there some other ones, too? Anything about Alice? Come on. Oh, you're getting shy now. Wait a minute. Somebody is actually pulling something out of her bag now. That's Tiffany. But you were prompting her, Emily, so you were a bit shy before, but what's up?
I'm trying to remember it, but I think it goes, Alice, you can't hide. We can see your greedy side.
Oh, I like that. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Tiffany, we need you over here. 1, 2, 3. Okay, Alice,
you can't hide. We can see your greedy side.
Did some of the neighbors come out and identify with you folks in front of her home while you were chanting that?
Yeah, there's actually, I think she may have been a cleaning lady or something. She was actually taking pictures of us.
Well, I think you should feel enormously proud of yourselves, and we are there. And Alice, you can't hide. We do see your greedy side. And you know something? The workers of this country, and indeed the workers of the world, are going to make sure that our sisters and brothers have at least 15 full-time hours, and a heck of a lot of other things are going to change with Walmart, right?
Yes.
So, again, you are?
I'm Emily from Merritt Island.
And I'm Tiffany from Sacramento.
And Denise from Pico Rivera, California.
Want to give one final comment about what we all should know? And I see that beautiful green button, too. We're all holding up. You can't all see this. But we're holding up our hands now with the zero and the W, and that stands for?
Our Walmart.
And that is the national campaign that's going to make, hey, you're going to unionize, too, without a doubt. I think your green shirts, I think your spirit, your energy, and the sacrifices you made are admirable. And it is an absolute delight to welcome you to Brooklyn, to our studios, and we are absolutely with you.
Thank you.
And again, we've been speaking with our fasters and sympathizers, and they are Denise Barlage and Tiffany Faulkner, Emily DeHart, and they are fighting for what Walmart really should give to the workers who have created their wealth. Thank you. For all of you. Yay. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.